If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Jack Black is a well-known motivational speaker and has spoken at course events and conferences all over the world for many years. He's back in Dublin later on this month for his latest course, which is called Whispers with Giants and is based on the success secrets of the richest self-made man in the world. And Jack Black joins me in line now. Jack, good morning to you.
Good morning, Frank.
And it's very good to talk to you. What's the most common question you get asked by people who attend your conferences? What are they looking for, Jack?
Well, friends, most people who come, I think what seems to be happening for them is that at some level in their mind or in their thinking, they realise they could probably get more out of themselves, that life could be better, that maybe they've just kind of felt time's gone by and they could have achieved more, and they're coming to find possibly direction and or the means by which they could perform better or experience more in their life. And that's really what it's about.
And in terms of this course that you will be bringing to Dublin, it is based on, is it the story of Andrew Carnegie?
Yes, well, Carnegie, famous Scotsman, aged 12, his family, like a lot of Irish families, Scottish families at the time, way back in the early 1800s, they didn't have the money to survive. They couldn't live in Scotland, and like a lot of them, they raised the money they could, and they took the perilous journey across the sea to the new land of America. And at 12, he landed there, and he started, you know, brushing out a cotton factory, and he ended up being the richest guy that ever lived. The thing that's fascinating about him and really inspires me was that he actually wanted to be the guy who made the most money ever, but his reason for doing it was he wanted to give it all away to good causes. He was an extraordinary guy.
Right, it wasn't about greed as
no,
such.
No, not at all. It was about, for him, it seemed to be about being the best he could be. He was an amazing guy. He wasn't just this guy who had the ability to develop all these companies and run them and be very successful. Mm. He was also a great speaker. He was an intellect. He wrote books. He did lots of things. And all at the time, by the way, when the world was way back then, the only communication we had in terms of technology was the telegraph, and they were developing, but back then the railroads. He was manufacturing the steel for the railroads,
right,
and so on. And he ended up with a lot of railway companies.
And he did, obviously he didn't have a formal education and stuff, but he was a reader. Was that it?
Well, he had a very brief education as a child in Scotland. It's interesting. I found it fascinating that he went to a traditional, I suppose, Presbyterian school in Dunfermline, where he grew up. But his parents wouldn't let him do, just in your previous conversations, his parents wouldn't let him do the religious classes, funnily enough, which is strange, but because most of the kids were getting that.
Interesting.
But he somehow or other was allowed not to attend them. And he ended up in America, and as I say, he did this extraordinary thing. I mean, he gave 95% of his wealth away before he died. I mean, how many people today who are rich and famous are doing that kind of thing, you know?
Very few of them indeed. And I'm just wondering, though, what you can bring. Not everybody can be an Andrew Carnegie.
Indeed.
So what is it that you can take from him and apply maybe to an ordinary life?
Well, what he had, which is fascinating, was he famously had a conversation with a young man, 18 years old, Napoleon Hill, who he asked in the interview. Napoleon Hill was interviewing him for a magazine, a monthly magazine. He was going to write an article about him. Carnegie took a shine to the lad and asked him if he would go out and interview as many people as they could find who were rich and famous, and find out what it was that made them tick. And he said he would publish the book for the young man, but he had to take 20 years to do the research. I had to interview 500 of them. And young Napoleon Hill did that. He took 20. I mean, for an 18-year-old to look forward 20 years is a massive thing. Mm. You think about it when you were that age.
Yeah.
Huge. And he took that commitment. Oh, and he did the research. He interviewed 500, including Wanamaker, Wrigley, Firestone, Morgan, Woolworth, three presidents. It goes on and on and on. And he found a common clue, which he talks about in the book that Napoleon Hill wrote that came out of Carnegie's conversation. Was he implied that there was a secret, and he says that he says in the front page of the book, which has been 20 million copies of it, you know, been published published in 1932. 1932. he basically said in the first page, if you're ready for the secret of success, it comes out at you from these pages. But if you don't hear it, you have to read it again. Carnegie shared with him a very interesting secret, and apparently they were with one another for 4 days and nights when they were, you know, when he was just talking to the lads, giving all the information about his life and so on. And the myth goes, who knows if it's true, but you know, those who are fascinated by it will hope it's true, that Carnegie somehow or other, finally feeling that he could trust the lad, told him that what he did was, and he asked him not to laugh at him, but he said that last thing at night he would sit up in his bed and wait till he was nice and drowsy. Now, science now knows that when you're in that drowsy state before sleep, your brain's slowing down into what's called alpha rhythms in your brain. He didn't know that then, but he said, but I'm in this drowsy state. I find my imagination's really good, which it is because your right brain's working more. He didn't know that either. But what he was saying was that he then imagined that he was in a room, in a boardroom, because he kind of ran businesses, so boardrooms was his kind of place that he haunted. So he was kind of basically saying, you know, I'm in this room, and around the room are the greats and men and women that inspire them. And he said, I would have these imaginary conversations with them, asking for their advice. And whatever we seemed to make up in those conversations, I just trusted and I carried out. And that's what made me successful. And Napoleon found that others were doing something similar. Edison, Ford, and it goes on and on. And so he alludes to it in the book, but you've really, I mean, what I found is, because I've been in this field for 30 years now and travelled all around the world, I've been really, really lucky, and I've met lots of people in this field too. Mm. It goes over most people's heads. Many people have read the book, but they don't get it. And it's what amazing. I'm trying to do,
of course,
is help
we have variations of that now with The Secret and all of these
Indeed.
Things where they talk about visualization and to visualize something positive and then it will come about. Is that something you've used yourself?
For 20 odd years I've been running courses. I come to Ireland, I've been doing stuff in all the companies over there, all the big companies.
Mm.
And what I do is I teach people, to visualize and so on and so forth. There's nothing new in that. There's actually nothing new in this field. But this particular clue of having these inner conversations, that's why I've called it Whispers with Giants, is something that people, I find when I share it with them and have done, you know, to over 500,000 people globally, that people get it intellectually. They say to themselves, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Oh, maybe I could do that. Maybe in my own way I do talk to myself. In those still moments, maybe what I do talk about seems quite profound. Then you say, okay, you get it intellectually, but do you ever do it? And of course, they don't do it. And even if you do share it with an audience, maybe people listening right now, they will intellectualise about that and even go over their head. What I want to do in the day is to get people to actually practice with it. And when they practice with it, what I find is they get extraordinary results, and it can literally change their lives.
It's fascinating, but is there and I was talking to somebody recently about the art of meditation, and
yes.
I was making the point that is there an intellectual quality you need for a successful meditation? And I have to ask you the same thing. Is there an intellectual quality you need to grasp this in some way?
No, the funny thing about meditation, I mean, when I started, you know, you can imagine, people were laughing at me. Journalists and people like yourself who may have wanted to interview me were really having a go at me and taking the mickey, you know, making a fool of me. Because they really believed that somehow or other this was nonsense. But as you possibly know now, there's universities all around the world have climbed into this space now. There are hundreds of them researching.
Yeah.
And they're now proving that what we would call meditation or mindfulness or any of these type of things is really, really important. However, to actually do it, anyone can do it. I mean, I find myself teaching this to all kinds of people, all different kinds of backgrounds. And once they know how to do it, it's very... And they all know if they do it. They don't always do it because people, you know, they get caught up with life and they find reasons not to.
Yeah.
If they can get reminded all the time, then they will do it because they know it makes a huge difference. But you don't need to have any particular intellectual skill to do it. It's a very simple thing to do.
Yeah, to do it possibly, but just what I meant, I suppose, was an understanding of it, and maybe in the broader sense, but maybe you don't need to have that. Maybe you can just take it for what it is.
Yes, I mean, the interesting thing is there are there's two ways of looking at it, so I kind of took two extremes of thought about it. There are those who've always had a kind of spiritual thing about it, you know, getting back to the previous conversation, about people meditating to get in touch with their God or whatever, and a very spiritual thing there, and we kind of see that maybe in the East where people are meditating, you know, we kind of get that image of them sitting there, cross-legged, sort of you know, singing Om or whatever it is, getting in touch with the universe, whatever they believe in. But then you've now got the scientists saying, actually, because they don't really believe in that stuff, what they're saying is, no, this is actually getting your brain to function a certain way. And if you function this way, you've got access to much more creative thought. You're more likely to solve your problems. You'll be more likely to be more alert and aware of what's going on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And so therefore, you could be more successful in business, which is what you're about, I suppose.
Well, funnily enough, this course, I spend my life working with businesses and coaching leaders, but this is a public course. This is for anybody, and it's most of the people who will be at this, because it's a Saturday program, will be just ordinary folks, you know, like tend to come to my programs or bring friends or whatever, family.
Yes.
It's not. It won't have a business orientation at all.
It's on Saturday the 27th, I think, Jack, isn't it?
That's correct.
At the Stillorgan Hotel. How can you register for this, or how can you book for this?
Well, this is kind of you asking. If they go into mindstore.com, mindstore.com, you can find a way to the...
Very good. And how much will it set me back?
It's £150, I believe. So I don't know what that's going to be in your gut. I think we probably have done something about it to make sure it's a euro fit.
Right. Okay. So it's what would that be then? It's over €200 or so. And how is that paid? Is that paid ahead of time?
Yeah. The other thing is, if MD's kind of wanting to come and think might be risking himself, what I do is, if people come to the program and they get to the first break and they think, well, this isn't for me, we accept that, and we will refund their money by the Monday, obviously because of the administration of doing that. But the Monday, they will get their money back. They don't have to worry about that. No one ever comes and stays on if they don't want to do it.
All right. Jack, listen, really good to talk to you today, Jack. Thanks very much indeed. That's Jack Black there. And Jack, of course, is a well-known motivational speaker and has spoken at course events right around the world over the time. That just might be for you.